Today's daf in Masechet Menachot is daf Lamed Hey. We're holding on Lamed Dalet Lamed Beis before the two dafs. Tana Rabbanan Ketzad Sidran. We have six lines up in the bottom. What is the order of the Parshiot? This is a reference to how they put into the Tehillim. Some learn that it also includes the Seder in which the Sofer writes them. So we have Kadesh Li V'haya Ki Yaviyacha Miyamin. The Seder of the putting the Parshiot in. This is of course major Machloket, famous. I mean, the most famous of which is Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, but there's actually 64 variants, as the Groz quoted as saying, and if it was going to be Yotzi, every possible filling, he'd be doing nothing else. And each one of them has a Sherish and an Ishmas Yisrael. So let's take Rashi's chat first. What is the Seder of the Parshiot as they're put into the Tehillim? Kadesh Li V'haya Ki Yaviyacha Miyamin. So the two Parashot which occur first in the Torah, which is Kadesh Li Kol Bechor Peter Kol Rechem Bivnei Yisrael, and then the following parsha, which is Vahayaki V'yacha, those two parshiot are next to each other in the Torah, and they're next to each other in the Tefillin, and they are on the right side. Shema V'haya Im Shamoa, which are also two parshiot, one after each other, they're not, of course, next to each other, in the Tanan and Ekef. So those two parshiot, but in the correct order, are on the left side. You take a look at the chart, a picture that we've provided, thanks to Uncle Art, and thanks to David here, which allowed us to copy it. I don't know whether Uncle Art would go along. So Rashi's approach is Kadesh V'Hayakiviyah, this would be on the right. Shema V'Hayayim Shamoa would be on the left. Now you'll notice that this is a little bit strange, because I mean, why don't you say all four straight? What is right and left? But if you want to tell me that this is the order that they appear in the Torah. Kadesh V'Hayakiviyah. If you're facing the tefillin and you're reading from right to left, so then you'll be reading Kadesh Vayaki V'yacha Shema V'ayim Shamoa if you were sitting in the Torah in that order. But if that's what you want to say, as the Rabbeinu Tam points out, I mean, why would you say right and left? You should just say you would start from Kadesh, go to V'ayim V'yacha, you keep going straight. So therefore, says the Rabbeinu Tam, that actually what it means is from the right, right facing, if you're going to be facing towards the tefillin, Kadesh Vayaki V'yacha, as Rashi says, and then from the left, meaning starting from the outside, going in, Shema V'Hayayim Shamoa, and that way the two V'Hayas are next to each other, and the two Parshiot that involve the Shin San Kadesh and Shema are next to the Shin. Right, so that's your Sivin V'Haya V'Haya, the two Havayot next to each other, Shin and Shin outside. So in other words, everything is the same except for the inversion of the Shema V'Hayayim Shamoa, which Rabbeinu Tam said, but what else could the Gemara mean? What does it mean when it says on the left? I mean, otherwise just say, if you're talking about four in a row, so say four in a row. We're going to see why Rashi says what he says in a moment. As the Gemara asks, but does it not say exactly the opposite of Braita? Tanya Ipa, Omar Abaye Lo Kasha. That's not a problem. One is referring to the Yamino. When we talk about Miyamin, we mean from Yamin somebody who is reading those Tefillin, so to speak. In other words, he's looking at the person wearing the Tefillin and reading the Parshiot as if they were open in front of him. So then you have Kadesh Vayaki Yabiyacha Shema Vayayim Shamoa, facing the reader, which is exactly the way the Parshiot appear in the Torah. Whereas from the point of view of the wearer of the tefillin, to there we would say the opposite, obviously. So the miyiminoshel kore, and when we say it's the other direction, we mean miyiminoshel hameiniach, which of course would be the small. So we can refer to it either way. V'hakore, now this is where the Rabbeinu Tam's got a problem. V'hakore, kore kisidran. The one who would be facing the tefillin would be reading these parshiot in the correct order. Of course, it's very problematic. According to Rabbeinu Tam, some actually take out this girsa. So that a kore kore kisidran is really not absolutely correct. Right. That's what it certainly seems to mean. Ketzat sidran, you're saying ketzat sidran. The sidran is kisidran. I mean, he has to really stretch it if you have this girsa. Like Rashi works out perfectly. The four parshiot are in exactly the order that they're in the Sefer Torah itself. Again, there are those who invert the kore, the miyamino shel kore, and the Yamino shall the Lovesh, and therefore they come out with mirror images, either of Rashi or the Rabbeinu Tam, which is the Ravid, who is a mirror image of Rashi. So that's your third variant of Ilah. Right, then you have the Maran Mipano, that's the mirror image of the Rabbeinu Tam. So that's four out of the 64. We can keep going. Yeah, I mean, you take a look at all... Never, huh? That's because there's only room on the head for two pair at a time. but that's exactly what the Gros is quoted as saying. That, I mean, start worrying about every possible configuration at all, and you'll be spending your day doing nothing but this. These are not machlokes in the Rishon. These are there is very, very old mekuras for every single one of these. There were different tefillin, completely different tefillin, different shroshim of the shrotim, and so on, and all of which have their mekuras. And you pass them like Omer of Kanan el Omarav, hichliv parshioteha pesulot. If you switch the order of the parshiot, then the tefillin are pasul, which would mean that Rabbi Natan tefillin are pasul to Rashi, and vice versa. Omer Abaye, well, it's not strictly true. It depends, says Abaye, on what you switch. Lo amrel gviatala vriata uvriatala gviata vgviatala gviata uvriatala vriata letlanba. Remember that we have the main machloket over here between Rashi and Rabbi Natan is whether Shema is an inside parsha or Shema is an outside parsha. So again, the siman was, according to the Rabbi Natan, shin shin kadesh and Shema, and vahaya vahaya vayaki veyacha, and the Vahaya im Shamoah are next to each other. So according to either Pshat, there's a inside parasha and an outside parasha. According to Rabbeinu Tam, that was the whole point, saying mi aminu mizmol. So what Abaye is saying now is that only inside, if you switch an inside to the outside, would you be passing the villain. But if you just switch between the two insides and the two outsides, so let's say you would have Kadesh, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you'd have Kadesh and Shema on opposite ends, that's not a problem. So you don't put them inside. There's still, of course, apostles, even according to Abaye, apostles, Rabbeinu Tam, on to Rashi, he switches Shabbat or Yom Shemoah. So that's the way Rashi has it. But the other way, we don't have any hakpar. In other words, there's no halacha l'mashu mi-Sinai that defines more than which parashas are internal. Well, but Rav, I don't get that. Maishna gviata l'vriata v'riata l'gviata d'lo. Why are you saying that if it switches inside to outside, that passes it? Dach d'boi l'michzei avira lo kachazi, v'ach d'lo boi l'michzei avira kachazi. Because whatever was supposed to be exposed is not being exposed, whatever is not meant to be exposed is exposed. That's your problem. Since when is direction meaningless? Why isn't that just as important? You think that it's all about being in outer space or inner space. Why would that be? Rather than in a specific position in which you're right or you're left. My God. I mean, that's all we need is to start having prion tefillin. You understand? There'll be, who knows what will happen. Just imagine what happens in a protein. All you need is one little left to right instead of right to left, and your whole brain falls apart. Life is not that simple, says Rob. Especially when you're talking about something on your head. You got to be very careful there. And therefore, it makes absolutely no difference. Here, it's exactly the same. Because even if you're talking about Briatal, Briatic, Viatal, Viata, it's also Nami, Hachtabai, Lvirse, Avir, Diamin. What needed to see the right side space is now on the left side space. Again, taking a bit of time, you switch Shema and Kadet, or Rajvayim Shema and Kadet. The wrong side. Whatever was supposed to be on the left is now being exposed to the right. The smoke, Okazi, Vidiramin, Ela, Loshna. Clearly, that doesn't make any nafkamina. It would be possible in any direction. Vomer of Hanan Lamarav, Titura de Tefillin. You need the titura. Titura means literally a bridge. In other words, after having put in your parshiot into the various rooms of your shalrosh, you now are going to have, according to Rashi, an extension of the piece of leather is going to come around. There's two approaches. Either it extends all around the bottom a little bit, and to the back extends far enough to later on be able to make an entire bridge that becomes afterwards. The extension of that becomes a mouth, which is the place where you're ma'avir, through the tikkurah, you're ma'avir the ritzuot to the villain. But in any event, it needs to have... Continue stealing the pictures. Right. Okay, so we have both right here. One approach, according to understanding Rashi, is that the tikkurah does not extend on any side. It cut away on three sides. That's a machloket. According to Rashi, the tikkurah is an extension of the actual teeth. In other words, the actual skin that you made the four rooms out of continues on to form what becomes afterwards a base.
Like an underlap.
Yeah, and it goes long enough to be able to flap under. According to another way of understanding Rashi, and forget those, because that's not like Rashi, Rashi at all, is that it extends slightly on all of the sides, up to the point of the Ma'abarta, and then this piece is considered to be the base. According to Tosfos, at this church, there's a completely separate piece of Sien, where you put the Tzitza through, which formed the Titura, and that entire piece, we have that large piece on the bottom, is called the Titura, because the extended piece... Yeah, but that's that shot. Not, again, the simple meaning of Rashi is that there's no extension on the other side. Same piece of leather, according to Rashi, not according to Tosfos. Yeah. Okay, so these are very, very different approaches, but in any event, that there needs to be a titura, that is to say, some additional bridge that extends it further, and this bridge is going to bridge, ultimately, the place where you have the ritsua going through, and there it's called the Ma'abarta, then that is all halacha Moshe B'Sinai, and it has to be there. The other, now this is also, we're going to see later on, we're going to assume, but Rashi includes it here in the definition of the titura, is that when it's folded over, the sewing it up, so that it now forms a thick base, is all part of that din. That's what we call a titura. And not only that, continues the Gemara, but the fact that in the rear of it, it would be a ma'abarta, so that it leaves a hole, and that the extension, in other words, once you put the ritsuot in, the ritsuot of the tefillin go through a piece that is attached to the ma'abarta. Now, the ma'abarta itself, we're going to see, has to be square. And if you'll notice, in your tefillin shel rosh, there's these little indentations on either side of the base of the tefillin. That's because they are meant to cut away the ma'abarta from the titura. The part that goes beyond the square, because the titura itself needs to be square. If you include it all as one piece, then the ma'abarta, which is the place where the ritsua goes through, would knock it out into a rectangle. So in order to have the perfect square on the bottom, we cut away the edges so that way the ma'abarta ends at the straight edge. The other edge isn't straight. We don't care about it. It's just there in order to say, yeah, it's functional. So that the ma'abarta part is the top and bottom. The titura part is the top and the bottom, but this extension is itself the ma'abarta that allows the ritsua to go through it. But it's not part of the titura, but it has to be there, and it has to be. But the meaning of ma'abarta is that it has to allow for passage, not attachment. In other words, you need to be able to slide the tefillin on the ritsua through the tefillin. If you're sealing it, then that's not called a ma'abarta at all. So it's not a connector. It's a place where you pass through. Okay, and this is we're going to take each halacha separately as the halacha of Moshe B'Sinai defines separately. Therefore, we don't talk about that it needs to be squared or how it is you have to do the sewing and so on and so forth. That we're going to discuss each thing in its way. Yes, in the sense that precisely what the halacha defines. Yes, yeah. V'yomar Rav Chanan l'Amarav, the titura the tefillin l'chol Moshe B'Sinai, v'yomar Abaye ma'abarta the tefillin l'chol Moshe B'Sinai, v'yomar Abaye the shin of the tefillin is also l'chol Moshe B'Sinai. Now again, it's not clear whether the shin, when he says shin, shovel is really two separate shins that we have the Kabbalah, one being the forehead of shin, which is the merames, the shin that is written on the luchas, where over there it goes through the luach, the empty space, which is a letter. Normally, our letters are the space that jut out because of the, you know, more than that, it's great luach, you know, but whenever it's empty space, it's not just, it's not there. That's why it's benesa, you know, I mean, the letters that had a round and something in the middle, how do they say that for you? Holds the luach in place. But, so in order to indicate that there's letters in which the background becomes the foreground, is exactly what happens on the lucha. This is an inversion of the typical idea of ktav. There's a four-headed, which is the three spaces of the shin, which is a remes to the shem. So shin shel tefillin is halacha l'Moshe B'Sinai. And the question precisely what that means, whether it means that you pull out the leathers, that you form it into a letter with hands, or when you make the tefillin l'chatila, you leave a space for that shin, so that it formed in the press. You'll pay extra if you want to be yitz to the shitas that you have to pull it out. Not your bank. It's a letter. You lose a letter, then you have to write it. You can't do chok to chok. You can't start with it and then press it. It's not a letter. But you pay, exactly. But you pay extra. You get it. You know, it's in my focus. Okay, I mean, basically, you know, the matter to do a little bit no matter what. V'tzarchi yagia charitz limekoma tefer. Now, this is a machlokas, what we're talking about. The charitz, meaning the tip of the shin, some learn. And that has to go all the way down to the titura, where the sewing of the bottom of the titura is done, also to square. Or whether it's talking about the charitz between the two the four batim, in other words, the three haritzim, this would be suddenly a switch off of the shin back again to the nature of the batim themselves that we've been talking about before. That haritz has to come down to the mokama tefer. By the way, there are those who learn, if you want to talk about how far apart you can get in understanding the halacha of Mishina, someone's in the Mahabharata, is a reference to the space between the haritzim that we spoke about earlier, where we're talking about leaving space between them, we're talking about Rebbe, we thought according to Timbu was very the cloth that you write the pieces on. Okay, they learn that that's what we're talking about when we call it the Mahabharata. All right, again, the normative approach, like basically Rashi's approach, most of these things Rambam held exactly the same way, including what the Torah of the Tolan is in terms of the Seder of the Parshiyot. So it's not, you know, why it's called Rashi's villain. I mean, the Mefarish on the Gemara, so everybody is used to it. Plus, I have the famous story, Ben Thomas baby, wore off the villain, pulled off Rashi's tefillin, pulled off his Zayi's tefillin, said, oh boy, he's going to apostle your tefillin one day. Very good story. But in any event, and these are not only the one of Rashi, these are the one that are there in the Megillah, the Rambam Pasuk, the Pashas of the Seder of the Tefillin. And there's also, by the way, a report, a very early report that they found in the Hever of Yechesel. They found Tefillin that were Rashi. It was like early, a very early archaeological find that was brought by the Pesim. And of course, the immediate taina was, well, naturally, they buried those Tefillin because they were possible. You can't win. Of course, the comeback to that is, why in the world would you bury the tefillin instead of taking out the parshas and reversing them? Okay, but like I say, you can't win. All right, so, but here once again, so we're talking about the Mahabharata. Again, the normative approach of the Mahabharata has nothing to do with Haritzin. It's a separate halach of the Haritzin, meaning Beina Parsha that we discussed a couple of days ago, that they have to come all the way down to the Mokum of the Tefer, which is the place where the bottom of the Titura is sewed to the top of the Titura, is sewed to the Tzitz, according to Tosfos, where you have actually two separate pieces of leather. Rav Dimi Minar Damar, you don't need for the Haritzim to get all the way to the bottom. They need to be Nikar Mibachutz, is all that we said before. And Kivan de Minkar, once there are Nikar, that is sufficient, and they don't have to go further than that. V'yomer Abaye, Haikilpa, the Tefillin, Tzarech Lemivtika, the Dilma Itpe Reyuto, Vina Ktiva Tama. We already saw, when we talked about Afilu Otachad, even the smallest amount, the Kutzel Shoyud, is, and we ended up saying that means, in terms of the Kiddush of Rabbi Yehuda, about you need to have cloth on all sides and so on, but certainly we brought the Pashtas from Vuchtavtam Ktiva Tama. It has to be written in a completely Sholem Ktiva, which means that if there's a small hole, then it's not a full letter that is written on that hole. You better check it very carefully, because if you accidentally write them and then it doesn't, you don't notice there's a hole, it won't be Kivat Tama, Veleka. Rav Dimi Minarda says, how could it be a hole large enough to be significant, and when you're writing it, you wouldn't sense it? I mean, isn't the kulmus itself going to pass over every part, and we'll feel that it's up against the indentation of the hole? The lo tzarich kulmus abadigle. The kulmus itself, which you're writing the letter with, is going to sense that there's a hole there. Therefore, you don't need a visual inspection of the glass. Amar Rav Yitzchak Ritzuot Shechorot, remarkably, most people think, oh my gosh, my villain are they, but we better fix them not completely black, while their rituas are all, half of them are all white, and they don't know that actually the villain could be white, but rituas have to be black. So the main problem with the color, the halakha l'moshe mitzinai, is that the rituot must be black. Yeah, nowadays, again, that's the latest chumrah, is that the rituas, pay a lot more for this. They can't be reversible. We're going to see later, the rituas actually have to have the hair side up. Can't be. That's also a din, the same way you have it in a tivah, that's in what it is. But in terms of the color, that the color should be, what's the word when the color penetrates the whole thing? It's the word color penetration. But in any event, that's the latest thing, is that the entire ritua, that there's no way to make it, even if you scratch it, it's all black, which is great. So there's no, there's never a problem. Impregnated with the coloration. So that, but again, that's the accessories. I mean, you're playing for, an old 8-track player. So, yeah, but I mean, obviously, once the neighbors have it, you're certainly not going to get your tefillin without impregnated ritzuas. Come on. That's right. So, in those days, that was the iPod, impregnated ritzuas, is it? Dad, thank you so much. I can't believe you did that for me. Okay, so you got to make sure that the ritzuos are black. Meitve. How can you say that? Says tefillin ein koshinaton ela biminan. You have to, when you utilize the tying of the tefillin, you're utilizing something to tie them. You've got to use skin, the minan, the same thing that the tefillin are made out of. But you can't use, let's say, cotton or silk and so on. But, as the ritzuos, but it doesn't matter what color they are. It says over here, if they're green, black, white, great, paisley, beautiful. As long as you don't use adumot. Adumot lo yaseh, look, it's not very pleasant. I mean, people are going to see this guy, this guy is scratching himself all the time, bleeding. And also, davar acher, they may be sleeping beneath us on the side, people will harm. Don't give them any opening at all with what's that. And the Amar of Yehuda, this is still part of it. Obviously, the question has already been asked. And you said it has to be black, and here's the green. But once we already bring the brighter, we'll bring the whole brighter. Amar of Yehuda, Maaseh b'talmidosh Rabbi Akiva, Shaya kosher tefilav b'lashonot tchelet v'lomar lo davar. I mean, come on, how can you say that? There was one of Rabbi Akiva's talmidim, and he was sitting right there wearing tefillin that had been attached to him, not with pertuis of skin, but with material of tchelet, and he didn't say a word. Efshar otot tzadik ra'at talmido v'lo machavo. I mean, how could he be sitting there? I mean, it's right in front of his eyes. There's only 24,000 people in the room. I mean, what? Wouldn't he have immediately said something? Hey, you in row 4,006. Get those fillin' fixed. And he didn't say a word. So they answered him, that's correct. It would not have been possible that he would have seen him. But he didn't see him. You're right. Hein? Lo ra'a oto. That's right. He would not have seen him. Did not see him. But had he seen him, im ra'a oto, of course he wouldn't have been allowing him to wear these tefillin. They're posel. Well, says Rabbi Yehuda, was also ma'aseh b'hurkanus. Benosh Rabbi Eliezer b'hurkanus. Who used to use material that was dyed in argaman. V'lo amar lo davar. I mean, come on. This is his own son. You're telling me Afshar otot tzadik ra'a b'no v'lo michabo? He saw his son wearing those tefillin and he didn't say a word to him? Ama amrulo. Well, that's right. Ein lo ra'oto. He did not see him. V'im ra'oto lo yamanicho. I have to tell you, my father, Zechariah the Bracha, told me that when he would play hooky, he had a very, very unique way of hiding from his father. He stayed quiet. His father never looked up, ever, so that he shouldn't see anything that wasn't Roy. So he literally, and all his friends knew, just don't say Yankele and everything will be okay. His father would walk straight by, and he would just stand still right next to him. Straight by, would never notice, and go on playing hooky. Amazing. So, okay, so what do you want? Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus, indeed, he didn't see him. Had he seen him, he would have said something.
What do you think?
As father or as son?
Well, that
happened. And my children play hooky. Anyway, katani mia, bein yiroko, but getting back to our problem. Our problem is, it says green, black, white. I mean, how can you say that they need to be black? Lokashin. Here's where we get to the description of which part of the yiritsua we're talking about. Kan mi bifnim, kan mi bachut. Depends where you're referring to. The part of the ritsua which faces your skin, and not only that, but it doesn't have to be referring to facing your skin. It could be referring to the skin, meaning facing the flesh of the animal. Because the ritsua has an objective, pnim. So kan mi bifnim, kan mi bachut. Im mi bifnim, says, wait a minute. If we're talking about the side facing your skin, which is the far side facing downward in the animal, away from the hair growth, then why did you say that it's a gnai? Who's going to see what's on the other side? You said, don't dye it red. Well, who's going to know if I dyed it red? It's facing downward. Now, here's the indication that the sides that are exposed are indeed part of the shikorot. Because otherwise, we could have just said, well, we're talking about around the edge. Around the edge, you do see. If the edge is exposed, it's red, it's bloody. I mean, it's the same gnai. And yet, the Gemara doesn't say. The Gemara doesn't say that maybe they'll see it on the side. So the implications seem to be that the sides indeed are included in the exposed area, and that needs to be black. And that was a given. Okay, in any event, answers the the Gemara, there's still a gnai. Why? Because, and there's also Dover Acher Ashad. Why? Because Ikazidin de Mitabchim. It does happen that your Ritlot should come without your noticing, that they can be flipped over accidentally. And because of that, we want to avoid the gnai. That's the suggestion in the right side. That's not halach. Same thing. No, red. Red because of the color of blood. So it looks like you're a slob. You're scratching all the money. Or that you're worse. The Dover Acher. Tana, tefillin merubaot halakala Moshe Misinai. The tefillin need to be square. Omrufapa, this is not only that the body of the tefillin needs to be square, meaning square, the simple meaning in Hebrew is not square, it's squared. That is to say, the edges are 90 degree angle. A rectangle is meruba. Therefore, comes along Rav Papa to include the word ba'alachsonam. The diagonal needs to be, therefore, the diagonal needs to be equal no matter where you would measure it, which also means square, in other words. If you're telling me it's meruba ba'alachsonam, so then you're telling me that the relationship of the diagonal to however you would draw a triangle inside will be exactly, again, according to Gemara, not the square root of 2, but exactly 1.4, because that's the remez that we have in the Torah from the Yamshel Shlomo, the relationship to the square root of 2. That's how we treat it. So the idea over here, therefore, there's a number of places where the halacha does not require more, such as the Yamshel Shlomo, but where the halacha does not require an exact, because obviously there's no limit exact, so all that it requires is the 4 to 10, or the two-way, the Gemara, or 2 to 5, relationship. More than that, you don't need in order to find a square, because you don't need more than 3 to define a circle. Same exact good
idea. Squares than with 5.
Really?
That ratio, then the circle will say, well, it's still square. Higher than that at all. Which also correlates what your eye will do. It's 1.5 or less, your eye will see a square. A little bit higher than that.
That is amazing. Okay, so this is even more meduyak than the international gem. Look, you're filling a takshitim there. That's what they called it. That's beautiful. That is really beautiful. So, again, with this is a Kabbalah, the relationship of the 2 to 5 and the...
one
can't be 1.5. No, it's 1.5. It isn't 1. How could it be?
Language.
Oh, not the diagonal. I know what that translates into in terms of diagonal. Okay, but in any event, more diuk than that is not important. Obviously, you know, nowadays it's all done by laser and that's precise, you know, and you've got to get the relationship to the, you know, 5 points to the right, the decimal point, to the square root of 2, and so on. But all of that is not nogei alahalo. But by adding the alachsonan, you make it clear that this is an issue. Now, he also adds the word betifran. So the tvira, the Rambam learns, and so the Rashi learns, that the idea of years, and again, we're going to see, we already saw our first hint, that tefillin in those days were very, very soft. We saw that from the fact that if you got 4 parshiot and ksitza shel yad, that even though other people won't notice it, the wearer will notice, which means you can feel the parshiot from the outside. And you'll feel that you've got 4, you'll feel them moving around, mishushan or mimushan, as Rashi says there, depending on what years you have. Obviously, to us, that's a joke. I mean, we look at tefillin like they're, you know, they're made out of plastic for all intents and purposes. They didn't have tefillin like that. And we're going to see the entire sugya that measures now the question of distortion of tefillin by pulling on the thread too much, which is what the tefillin means. How can you possibly change a tefillin? We're going to have a number of different things about pulling the tefillin, having the snapback shape, not snapback. This to us is like weird. Again, we have tefillin that are so much more sophisticated that they wouldn't even know what our tefillin are. What is that thing? It's just like way too perfect. I mean, obviously that is beautiful either, but it requires modern technology to really get it. Like, so we need to have the tefer not to pull things out of shape, or the tefer itself needs to also be in a square shape, and it needs to be square in the sense of the diagonal. Now remember that it doesn't say anything over here about 3 dimensions. It talks only about 2 dimensions. Diagonal here is in 2 dimensions. And that's the Makot Rishonim, whether we're talking about a cube or we're talking about a square, so that according to some of the Rishonim, the height is not the issue here. It's just the actual base that we're talking about right now. In point of fact, we make them. Lema b'sayele, can we prove that this is true? From the following, tefilato, Rafapa, that is to say, Rafapa's addition, about tefer, that underneath it would also have to be, the base would be square, because he added that. And here it says, if you make your tefillin round, it's a sapana, because you can hit your head on something and then it'll go right in your skull, you know, and it doesn't have a mitzvah, because those are not tefillin anyway. So in other words, what you're saying is that it's merubaot, even on the base, because they're round. Says the Gemara, no, because that could be taught talking about, Mamar of Papa, Matnita Davida Kiam Goza. I mean, that would mean, it's hard to believe it was Rav Papa, because he's the one that bringing Raya. Why would we want to, Rav Papa say, no, don't bring me Raya. So the Girsa elsewhere is Rava. But in any event, you can't say it's Raya, because what it's talking about over there is not only that it's in a circle, but rather that it extends outward, like a nut, so it doesn't have a base at all. Comes to a point. There's no base. Maybe everybody agrees there has to be a base, but it's not called a Jura. But who's to say that it can't be circular on the base? He's claiming the base of the Tefra needs work. I mean, that you don't see from here. Omer Avuna, Tefillin, Kol Zman, Shepnei Tabla, Kayemet, Kisherot. Says Ravuna, look, what's important to us is the outside covering of the Badia. That looks whole. What's happening inside between the walls of separate apartments is not important. It's got to look whole, however, from the outside. Rav Chista Omer, no, that's not true completely, because if Nifsiku Shtayim Kisherot, but if Nifsiku Shalosh Pisulot. Not necessarily. If you've got three out of the four batim being inside, having a hole through them, then that's no good. You're going to have to check your tefillin for that. But if you've got only two of them, then it would be okay. Omar Rava, well, even that's not a full description. Because Hada Amrit Shtayim Ksherot, not always are two kosher. Two are kosher where it's Zeh Shaloh Keneged Zeh. Avazeh Keneged Zeh, even two are possible. Okay, now what this means, there's two different approaches to this. Are we referring to the batim inside, meaning the hadarim, right? The four batim in the Dilan Shel Rosh? They have a hole, correct? Okay. So here you've got your four, in this picture, you have your four separate rooms. So the simple meaning of this would be that one room isn't shalem, two rooms aren't shalem. This is two that are one next to each other. Or you've got two that are shalem interspersed with two that are not showing. So it's a reference to the actual room. However, the other pshat would be that it's not a reference to the room, it's a reference to the walls between the rooms. So that if you have two next to each other, where the hole extends to that same space, obviously no real space, we press it together, but it extends into the, as if there would be a space between the two rooms. So then that is already possible. Because they, two, even though they're not the separate walls being punctured, two the same space that is punctured, but it's different walls that are punctured too. So two that open into the same area, that would be possible. Now, she'enke one next to each other, as here pictured D, where they don't open into the same hole, would be kosher, right? Because the wall of the chadarim, of the batim, are not next to each other. So even though there are two batim that are broken, one next to the other, since they're broken in opposite directions, they're not broken towards the same wall, the same space, so that's not considered to be one next to the other. Okay. Yeah, according to this, according to that approach. Yeah. Okay, but even this doesn't conclude the limitations on the sock. Furthermore, you also have to know that this is also not true, even zeh keneged zeh nami lo amra, ela b'chadada. If it's new tefillin, then something is terribly wrong. Why would we be getting so many holes? Unless there's something wrong with skin. If there's something wrong with the skin, then ein achinami. We obviously have to assume that these are poor quality or, and it's not, they're not kosher for tefillin. Avobatikta, if there's old skin, okay, it happens after 300 years, you know, get a little weakened, and maybe that's perfectly kosher tefillin. So batikta letlanba. Omale abayler of Yosef, when you define new and old, I mean, surely there has to be an objective way of defining that in the material. What do you mean exactly? Hechi damyan chadata, vehechi damyan atikta. What would define that? Well, Omale, I'll tell you, kol echa, ki mitle bebishach, matle bebishach, is the much more reasonable. So where you're pulling on the skin, and you pull it out of shape, and then hadar cholim, though it will snap back into shape. That is called atikta. It's already absorbed that shape. Obviously to us not as relevant because our tefillin can't be pulled out of shape. They're all done purpose made out of steel. You know. So there that's atikta. If it's still shapeable, so then it's chadat. That would be the some have this inverted. So there is that which is still elastic enough to shape and slip back, that is chadat. Okay. Again, to us it's not really very no yeah. Vi inami. If you're fighting with Salmon. One guy is holding the Ritzua, and the other guy is holding the Tefillin. And then...
You've got your neck in the middle.
Then at least that's how some understand the Rashi. I mean, it's difficult to believe that Rashi doesn't mention there's another guy involved. He seems to be talking about tefillin that are so weak that he tests. Is that if you hold on the Ritzua, if you hold the Ritzua, then the rest of the tefillin won't come with you. It'll pull out. Oh. It'll cut right through the end. Well, that's hard to believe. Therefore, they understand that it means if you're fighting each other for control of the tefillin won't tear. And whoever is stronger will end up pulling it away from the other guy. It's not what Rashi said. Okay, another pshat that Rashi brings is that it would be sort of the opposite of previous sugya. Atya batre would mean that the skin would stretch, and then that would be chadata, but before we said that would be the other way. So, okay, again, they're different yourselves, maybe different over here, because you're pulling it on both ends. Abaya v'yativ kameda Rav Yosef. Abaya was once sitting in front of Rav Yosef, and the ritzua of his tefillin was ifsik. Now, again, you'll notice that the way that we're referring to these filling it, they seem to be very, very soft and easily terrible, which is a possibility. Again, if Rashi meant that they would literally tear, then when it says over here that Yifsik le Ritzua, it meant he sat on the Ritzua, straightened up, and it ripped.
The Ritzua ripped.
So he asked Rav Yosef, Mahu l'miktere? Would it be kosher if I tied it together? Or Marle? No. Because the same way it says Uchtafam, which means Ktivatama, it also says Ukshartam, which means the Kshira needs to be wholesome, needs to be whole. And when you're tying your tefillin onto your head, you want to see the knot, that knot that you have, which is the Kesher Shel Tefillin itself, that's the whole knot. That's the Kshirat Tam. You start seeing other things in between, and that's not a Kshirat Tam. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that the Ritzua has to be Tama. So then this would be Big Nafkamina LaHalacha. Rashi actually brings both possibilities. If the Ritzua needs to be Tama, then even if it's outside of the knot area, it would need to be Tama. So you couldn't tie the Ritzuas up even way below the area in which you knotted them. And Omar le Rav Acha, the Rav Yosef Rav Ashi, how about sewing them? Ma'u le mitre, and then aile le tfira le go. What you could do is, now there's two approaches to this. You put the tfira inside the ma'abarta, and then no one will notice that you've sewed it, because it's going to be covered in the ma'abarta. Or, it means le gav, which means that what you do is you pull the two ends of the strap, making a little seam, but that the seam is not exposed to the air. You sew it on that seam, and that part is down against your skin, so that on the top, all you see is a flat, you see a little, you know, just a little place where there's a slight air space where you can make out, but it's smooth and nice. On the other side, it looks like your pants look on the other side. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're doing plastic surgery on the skin. Yeah, forget about a sofa. You know where to go to fix it. So, would that be kosher? Omar, so he told him, Pok chazi mai amadabar. Go take a look and see how people act. Now, this is a big machlokas. How do people act? This is a big machlokas for Shoni. Rashi says, did you ever see anybody do a thing like that? What are you, crazy? Of course everybody does that. So the shaila over here, is it lechumer, is it lekula? Which, lemaisa, the question is also, is this really nogea a diorita? Would we be semech on pok chazi? So if it's lechumer, of course you could be semech on pok chazi. But if it's lekula, which I'm learning over here, then that would mean that we're not really dealing with the diorita, dealing with the din of yidur. This wouldn't be a pagam in yas mitzua, which again might have to do with where it is, based on the previous question of whether it's a din in this area of the kshira particularly, or whether it would be anywhere on the ritzua. Once we're speaking about the issue of anywhere on the Ritzua, that indeed is our next question. What is that shear of the Ritzua? But before we even found out that there's a shear, we always do things backwards. We take for granted first that there's a shear, which means that if there's a shear, there's gardumi. Remember that gardumi, we spoke about this before, that there's an original shear of what something is supposed to be initially, and then there's the gardumi of if you made it right in the first place, what is necessary to be remaining behind, that it should remain kosher. Again, classic example is the tzitzit. So the tzitzit have to have a specific length, but as you know, if they tear, then you don't need very much left behind to be kosher, even though you don't make your tzitzit that way. That's called gardumi. So it says, Rav Papa, gardumi of ritzuot aksherot. As long as they were initially, we don't know what shear is yet, but as long as they were initially made properly, if you could tie them now and all you're left with is like little pieces that remain, that's okay. But that's not true, says the Gemara. We reject that. V'lav milti. Why? Because the famous psak of Gardume was said by Bnei Rebbe Chiya. And look what they refer to. Min ha'amri Bnei Rebbe Chiya, Gardume techelet, that's a tzitzit, and the Gardume of Ezov for the sprinkling. That Ezov is supposed to be l'chatila a tefa when you have it, when you pick it. But if afterwards it breaks off, it's still kshera. And why is that? Why do you think they mention Gardume techelet and Gardume Ezov? Because those are two examples of items that do not have a kedusha in them. They're used to be Mekayim Amit. But a filin, like a Sefer Torah, have actual kedusha. So they contain the Shem Hashem, they have to be treated the way a Tefsa Shem Kedusha should be treated. Therefore, you have no basis for suggesting that there's a concept of Gardume. Because remember, a mitzvah has to do with how you make it. How did you form it? Okay, that's good enough for a mitzvah. But kedusha is what it is. And to say that we would be makel on what is, what contains that kedusha, how do you know that there's such a concept of Gardume, of Tashmishi Kedusha? You don't see such a thing. That's our next question. If there's Gardume, there must be a Shir. As I say, we do it backwards. We always discover things from the bottom up. Okay, so here, Aval Hacha, where's Tashmishi Kedusha? Who's to say that there's a din of Gardume? Hey, wait a minute. But if there's Gardume, there must be a Shir. Looky, looky. So, Mechlal Yitlu Shiura. What is the Shir? Omar Rami Barcha. The shear is ad etzva tzereda. The shear of the ritzuot, the length of the ritzuot beside the kesher, in other words, the continuation of the ritzuah, has to be long enough to fit the etzva tzereda. Now, first of all, this is machlok, what is it? It's etzva tzereda. Sarata, the Gemara says in Yoma, tzereda means sarata dida. It's the co-wife, meaning the competitor, to this. And what I just did is the basis in the Gemara of Etzvat Sereda. Why? Because what they used to do if Kohen Gadol would fall asleep is they would be maka be'etzvat Sereda. Now, if you take a look at the Etzvat Sereda, Tain and many of the Rishonim, then it is actually it's your second finger, the middle finger, that hits your palm, and that's what's making the noise, right? So that's the one that makes noise that must be there for the Sereda. That's what we refer to. In which case, if it's sarata deda, the sarata deda would be the competitor to your index finger. Yeah, probably. And the other shot is it's a competitor with the thumb. If it's in the opposable thumb, you're always going to have the finger, which is your index finger, doing the thing that the thumb wants to. In any event, the shear would be the shear of the etzpa treda, which means what? So Rav Kahana is machve kafuf, and Rav Ashi is machve the pashut. So in other words, how much longer must the ritzua be beyond the kesher? The pashut would mean stretch, meaning, according to Rashi, as far as you can possibly go when you stretch your hand from the thumb to the etzpa, and that's considered to be stretch. Spread out. The other pshat would be, the other meaning in that sense, a kafuf, would then be the difference between the etzva, the two etzvaot would be the, because that's much closer. And this would be kafuf, meaning stretch. This would be close, and pashut would mean stretched all the way out, which is not very far. Okay, not everybody agrees that. That's the question. What are we talking about? Are we talking about the hand? Or do we have the hand? I mean, our minhag is lamaisa to leave it long enough to go all the way down. For seven times wrapping, but none of this is here. Seven times wrapping, then put it around your fingers, on based on a reading in this Gemara. The question of the size of the Ritzua Shel Rosh, the length of the Ritzua Shel Rosh, also in terms of the minhag, there's two different approaches, in which one of them at least is supposed to the right hand side, supposed to get navel, at least the other side is supposed to get the heart, or according to a different version, the right hand side is supposed to reach all the way to Ribi La, the other side the navel. Okay, but in any event, those things are not ma'akev. Those would be lechatzila to have in your Ritzua. Rabba Kotaluhu. Sorry? Oh, yeah. Well, worse than that. Look at this. Again, depending on how you understand the Gemara. Rabba Kotaluhu Upashit. Rabba, when he put it on his fillin, so he would do the kshira, whatever was left of the kshira, he would throw behind his neck. Well, that's really difficult. It looked like little, you know, curly hair thing down the back. It didn't go down very far, obviously. That's very different than the way we would do it. Rav Akiva Yaakov would be kartalu umatritlahu. He would be matos. Rashi learns matritlahu means he would braid them so that they looked like braided hair. Again, going down in the back.
And they were that long. It was that
long. Long enough to braid. Mar braid the Ravana of it kididan. He did it the way we do it. The way we do it is that we put it in the front. Tadlan the Fanav. And that indeed is the way we do it. Omer of Yudah Bereder of Shmuel Bar Shilat Mishbein Rav. The Kesher Shel Tefillin is Halacha LaMoshe MiSinai. Now, what exactly that means, major Makor. Rashi Shita and the Rambam Shita is that the Kesher Shel Tefillin means specifically the fact that the Kesher is in the Surah of the Oat of the Shemot Hashem. So that the Shin, which is on the Tefillin, matches the Yud, which is in the Kesher of the Tefillin, which is matching to the Dalid, which is the back of the Kesher of the Tefillin Shel Rosh, and that way you have Shin, Dalid, Yud. Most of the Oat Yot Hashem is on the Tefillin Shel Rosh, because you have the Shin in the Kesher, which we said before is Halacha LaMoshe MiSinai, and then you have the Dalid in the back. The Yud, all that's left, is in your Shel Yad, and that's why we give a greater Kedusha, one of the reasons we give a greater Kedusha, to the Tefillin Shel Rosh. And the etzem fact of a Kesher, we don't need Halacha LaMoshe MiSinai. That's a Shartam. So the Shartam would be both La'otah Yoter, or Le'zikaron B'neinecha. Others learn that the shape is not part of the Halacha LaMoshe MiSinai. That's an addition. Why then do we need Halacha LaMoshe MiSinai to say Kesher Shel Rosh, Halacha LaMoshe MiSinai? Because you could have learned the Kshartam only on the Od B'neinech, so Yadecha, not the Zikaron B'neinech. So, therefore, we need to know that there's a Kesher. Okay, in any event, the way that Rashi learns it, the way the Rambam learns it, the actual minag that we have is part of the Halacha. There's alternative. There's a number of different ways of creating a Dalit, and that seems to be based on the question of whether we include the Ritua that goes out of the Dalit in the knot, and therefore, if you make that square Dalit, then the Dalid, the square is actually just the edge of the Dalid. The little piece that comes out from the bottom and at 90 degrees angle, that strange way that knot makes it, is that they come out at a 90 degree angle. The 90 degree angle per se is the Dalid. There are others that say that the knot is meant to be a Dalid, and a $2 one, and that's a little bit of a threat. But this way, if you include the Ritzua, the top part of the Ritzua, in the Kesher, then you literally have a very well formed Dalid. The other is the famous Dalid knot, in which the knot itself has one be coming out at a 90 degree angle.
And the time blood.
That thing. For sure. That's not. The shin on the finger, you mean? That's just minhag.
No, the shin and the diamond.
Yeah, that's just minhag. From this. No.
How would you do a dagesh?
Right, but how would you do a dagesh in the knot?
That's going to call for the double dollar. Where?
Oh, I see. Omer Reb Nachman, v'noyehen levar. You have to have the nice part. So one shot is noyehem. Rashi brings two approaches. Noyehem means the beauty, which is a shem Hashem, has to be visible from the part that people can see from the outside. Not that you see the back of the knot, which doesn't show you the shem. Or the other pshat is noyeyem, the beauty of the resuot, which is that you have to make the knot in such a way that only the shiny black part of the resuot are visible in the knot. So even though you're knotting it, and that you might knot it in a way that the back forms part of the knot, that's no good. It has to be tied in that very special way. Says the Rambam, look, I can't show you that way, but you got somebody to teach it to you. But there is a way of doing this, but you're going to have to be, you know, unless I can attach the YouTube here in the text, and somebody's going to have to teach you how to do that. Okay, that's part of the Noyehem Levar. It has to be tied in such a way that you would see the beauty of the knot and the Ritzua's outside. As a matter of fact, once Rav Ashi, Havayatika Beda Martra, Itapach Le Ritzua de Tefillin, so is, again, the simple meaning of the continuation of the Sugya we just had, it would mean that the Kesher was Mitapach. And that would explain a tremendous reaction we find elsewhere to where it was mitapechle to make a tainus or have a tainus 40 days and so on. It's because the Shem Hashem was mitapech, not Sam, that the Ritzua per se was mitapech. Others learn that it means Sam the Ritzua was mitapech. And Omer le lo sabar le mar v'noyehen levar. So now, from here it seems absolutely clear, it's talking about the Ritzua, that the Noyehem is referring to the black part of the Ritzua. But if we learn that Rashi's first shot, v'noyehem levar, means the Shem Hashem in the Kesher has to be levar, so then this could only be referring to a hipuch of the actual Kesher, not not of the Ritzua, because otherwise what does that have to do with Nayem Levar, just because the Ritzua was Bitarech? And in any event, whichever Pshat it was, then if it's the Ritzua, it would mean always be Noy of the Ritzua Bachut. Lavadatoy. I wasn't concentrating. Absolutely, I do agree. I didn't notice. It says in the Pasuk, V'ra'u kol amei ha'aretz, Yishem Hashem nikra alecha v'yar'u mimeka. What is that a reference to, that all of the nations on earth will see the Shem Hashem on you? Tanya Rebbe Eliezer Agadol. Elu tefillin shebarosh. This is a reference to the tefillin shel rosh, because in the tefillin shel rosh you have the shin on the kisa, the dalid in the actual kasher, and that's most of the Shem Hashem. That's already suggestive. As we mentioned yesterday, the idea of totafot per se is part of what it is that is noticeable, and it stretches. It enhances the sense of the extended vision, meaning in terms of your awareness, that tefillin grant you, and therefore that's only on the tefillin shel rosh, not because of Shem Hashem, but because that's where your brain is. So even though Aristotle can figure that it's more than a heat vent device, but in the Gemara it's quite clear that at the seat of your machshava, and this was in sources a lot previous to Aristotle, and there was no question in their mind that your consciousness is around, and not out of your cooling mechanism or out of these strands of your heart. So that the nature of your the fear is the fear of someone who's more aware than you are. And that's part of it. I mean, we spoke about in the Gomer, we spoke about the way predators will stare at prey. That the commenting was made. They actually use their eyes and their head to just free. Well, I mean, it's something like a hypnosis kind of technique in which you draw attention. And it actually is sufficient to delay response time for a fraction of a second. And that's all the difference between being the prey or being the predator. So here too, the goyim see you as being the predators. Your own tefillin.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why people carry around the mirrors.
Right.
Well, that's the impact of the tefillin shorosh. It's a whole new way of looking at it.
And then they're looking at how straight it is. They're looking at what
they're not. It's not only the front lip of the tefillin that are meaningful. But remember that Shem Hashem is also in the knot in the back. Now that implies something about the nature of what it is that we're talking about here, because we always think of consciousness as being relating to the visual cortex, and it has to be the front of the brain. And yet the Kesher Shogun is related, but really, to a reptilian part of the brain, and that's where you place it. You place it directly on the end of the skull, which is where the spinal cord comes out of. And you would think that there's no relationship between the front end of the tefillin and the back end of it. And yet, remarkably, that's exactly what it is that the tefillin are asserting, that there is an interrelationship between both elements of the brain. And therefore, we understand that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kavayachol, told Moshe Rabbeinu, that when he asked to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Anhaga, and Hashem says to him, look, there's no way that a living being can see me in the front, but Hasiroti et Kapi v'ra'ita et Achorai, I will remove my protection for an instant. After Ani Avir called to Vial Panecha, you won't be able to see me, but you'll be able to see from behind. Ufanai lo yera'u. What does that mean, from behind? Om Reb Chana Bar Bizdon Reb Shimon Chassidim Alamicher Olo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Kesher Shel Tefillin. Now what it was that Moshe was able to understand would be the equivalent of the back part of the tefillin on a human, so that he would understand the interrelationship to the spinal cord of the world, so to speak, which is the anhaga, the evarium of the world, that comes from this, so to speak, awareness, consciousness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is not conceivable. So in other words, the behavioral element, that's what he asks for in the end. You want to understand the behavioral element, in which there's some connection of the way the world appears and the way it's treated to what it is that my chokhma is. That's the kesher shel tefillin, exactly as it would be in a human being.
Okay.
So you too, it's the mechanics. The spinal cord. Tana Rabbanan. Ketzat Sidran Kadesh Liva Hayak Yeviacham Yamin Shma Vayayim Shamoa Mismol. Viotanya Ibchom Rabbi Lokashe Kan Mi Minoshal Korei Kan Mi Minoshal Aminiach HaKorei Korei Kisidran Omer Chanano Omarav Yichlif Parshiyoteha Besulot Omer Rabbi Elo Arman Elag Viata Levriata Ovriata Legviata Avo gviata le gviata o vriata le vriata letlanba. Omele rova maishna gviata le vriata vriata le gviata de lo. Because you understand, ach de boy le michse avir loka chazia, vach de loka boy le michse avira iska chazia. So, Vriatala, Vriatang, Vriatala, Vriatanam is no different. Because Akhda Boy the Mitzvah, Avir the Amin, is now looking at Avir the Small. And the Small is now looking at Avir the Amin. Therefore, I disagree with you. It's a low Shana. Om Vemer of Hanana. Om Arav Titura de Tfilin. Alachala Moshe Misinai. Om Rabaye. Ma'abarta de Tfilin. Alachala Moshe Misinai. Vitzorach Shiagia Charitz. Nemkoma Tefer. Revdimi Minardomar, given the Minkar Lotzarich. You could see why it sure sounds like the Ma'abarta has something to do with getting to the Tefer, which is the pshat that it's the Charitz itself. Revdimi Minardomar, Omar Abaya, I killed Padit feeling. The Klaf Tzarech Lemivdika, the Dilma Itbe Reyuta, and you're not going to have Ketivat Tamar. Revdimi Minardomar says, why do you need to check it visually? Kumusa Padikla. Ritzuot, they need to be shchorot alochal moshmi sinai. Meitve tefillin in koshvinotan elabimina, meaning with skin. But who cares what the color is? Ben yirokot, ben shchorot, ben levanot, but don't use red. Vipnei gnai, dover acher also. Omre vira maase v'talmido shereb yakiva. Shoyo kosher tefillav bilashonot shot techelet v'omar v'davar. I'm asking you, man. If Sharotot Sadikra Atamido Volo Michabo, Amarlai, no, you're 100% right. He sure didn't see him in Lo Raoto. But Im Raoto, of course, Lo Yaminicha. Masebo Urkinus, but also Rabbi Yezib and Urkinus. Shayako Shertifilav Bilashonot Shalargaman Volo Amarlo Dabar. If Sharotot Sadikra Abano Volo Michabo, Amarlo, you're right, not possible. Obviously, Lo Raoto. Vimrauto loya menicho. Anyway, katani miat, it's nagea our question, ben yirokot, ben shchorot, ben levanot. No, that's not a problem. Kan mi bifnim, kan mi bachutz. Mi bachutz? Mi bifnim rather. Mai genai v'davar acherika. Nobody's going to see it. Not necessarily. Zim nidim mitapchim le. Tana, tefillin meruba ot alachalam yishim yisinai. Omrav Papa, that includes the tefer. And when we say merubaot, it means that the diagonal is meruba, so that it's the same in all directions, which means it's not only a rectangle, it's a square. Leimem esayelit, ve'osat tefilato agula, sakana ve'in ba mitzvah. Omrav Papa, matnita might be, should say, omarava, matnita avida be'kim guza. Omravuna tefilin, kozman shepnei hatabla kayemet, ksherod. We don't care what's going on inside, in the walls between the various batim. Rav Chista Amar, not true. That's only if just shtayim were nifsiku, then it's ksherod. But if shalosh were nifsiku, it's psulot. Omar Rava Adi Amar shtayim ksherod, lo Amar el ze shalok keneged ze, avo ze keneged ze psulot, veze keneged ze nami lo Amar el bechadeta, avo batikta letlanva. Omalei Abayel Rav Yosef, hechi danyan chartza vechi danyan atikta. Omalei kolayecha tekimatli bebe shalchavad acholim. That's atikta. Anything else is chartza. V'inami, kolayecha tekimatli bebe matna, aiti abatre, v'den it's chartza. Idach atikta. Abayel Aviyativ Kamit Rav Yosef, ifsikle ritzu de tfile. Omalei mahula miktere. Omar lo, no way. Ukshartam means shetek shirat tamah. Omar le Rabach Abraham Yosef Ravashi, what about sewing them carefully and then aile le tefira lagab? Omar, well, pok chazim ayam adabar. Omar of Papa, girdume de retsuot or ksherot. Valab milte. Why? Because bin Amri b'nei Rebichia, gardume of tchelet or gardume of ezo are ksherim. That's because atamu the tashmishi mitzvah nino, aval hacha the tashmishi kedusha nino lo. Wait a minute. If you're talking about gardumim, then obviously mechlal didle shiura. Kama shiurayu? Omer Rami Bar Koma Resh Lakish ad etzpat sreda. Rav Kahana machve kafuf and Rav Ashi machve pashut. Rabba kotelu pashut and then shadilu behind his back. Rav Acha bar Yaakov katalu batetu into a braid. Mar braid Ravana avat kedidan. Om Rav Yudah braid Rav Shmuel bar Shilat bishbeid Rav. Kesher shot tefillin. Halakhala Moshe Misina, either the shape or the fact. Omer of Nachman v'noyehem lavar, either the shape or the black of the Ritzuas cover. Revashi aveyativ kameda mazurta, itapchachle Ritzua de tefillin. Omar lo lo savar lamar v'noyehem lavar. Omalei, I absolutely do, except I hadn't noticed. Lava da toy. V'ra'u kol ha-me'aretz k'shem Hashem nikra alecha v'yor u'mimeka. Tani Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol omer, Eilu tefillin shebarosh, v'asiroti et kapi v'ra'it et achorai, om Rav Chanan bar Biza, om Rav Shimcha Hasida, melamed she'er Elo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, kesher shel tefillin.